Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be sure of this. If the master of the house knew the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servant to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds already doing so. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is long delayed,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come in an unexpected day and in an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of his severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. Who then is that faithful and prudent steward? We're all called in faith to be the Lord's faithful and prudent servants, to be the stewards of the great gifts that He has given. At the very end of the parable today, Jesus draws a lesson and He says, "Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, still more demanded of the person entrusted with more." Jesus doesn't say any one of us is entrusted with a little. We're entrusted with great things, and some of us with even greater things. And the Lord wants us to be faithful and prudent stewards. But for that to occur, we have to grasp the lessons of the gospel of yesterday and today. That we always need to be living with the Lord in the present. The Lord is always with us in the present, knocking. We're supposed to have our lamps lit and our loins girt. If we begin to think that He's long delayed, I can do my own thing and eventually I'm going to be 99 years old and that'll be the time I can get my life in order, it's then that we're going to be caught off guard like a thief in the night who might come to us in our 30s or our 40s or our 50s or our 60s, way before we think our time would be up. The key is that if we're always opening the door for the Lord, we will never be caught off guard. Faithful and prudent steward. The unfaithful and idiotic pseudo steward. It's the one thing that thinks got all the time in the world. So what do? They start doing their own thing. Jesus uses an image that would have been familiar. They beat the men servants and the maid servants, eat, drink, and get drunk. So they live a life of debauchery and they take out evil on others. Sinning against God privately, sinning against God in the person of others. That's what happens when we begin to think that the Lord's not present. Because I'm totally convinced that most of us, if we really recognized the truth that the Lord is at our side, would almost never choose to sin when given a choice between something good and something evil. We would almost never choose to sin. It's the devil who wants us to think that the master's far away and long away. But once we recognize that the Lord's near, everything changes in our choices. St. Paul was describing that in today's first reading in powerful contrasting terminology. He says that we're all going to be a servant of something or a servant of someone. We need to make consciously a very prudent choice for God. So either we're going to be servants of sin and presenting parts of our body to sin as weapons for wickedness. Our bodies, our souls can be weapons for wickedness. Whenever we use our bodies to hurt people, whenever we approach people with unresolved anger, whenever we approach people to try to step on them so that we can elevate our own self-esteem, whenever we approach people with lust, our bodies can be weapons of wickedness. That's one option. The second option, and there is no middle ground, is that we can present ourselves to God as raised from the dead to life, and the parts of our bodies to God as weapons for righteousness. In order for our bodies, our whole lives, because our bodies are sacraments of who we are, body and soul, as weapons for God, we need to be regularly presenting ourselves to God as raised from the dead to life. Not just same old as yesterday. Raised from the dead to life. Now I want to stress something. It is one of my main points. There is no possible way we can do that unless we're regularly being raised from the dead in the sacrament of confession. No way. Because that's the way we're raised from the dead to life. And if we just think, as long as I'm not murdering anybody, I'm living a totally risen life with the Lord. The devil's got us. Totally. We're called, though, to present ourselves as raised from the dead by God's own grace, as slaves to righteousness. And this happens, he says a little bit later, that even though we were once slaves of sin, thanks be to God, we have become obedient from the heart to the pattern of teaching that was entrusted to us. Not just obedient on the outside, resentful on the inside to having to keep the commandments, for example, but from the heart of listening to the Lord so carefully and with so much love that we, with our whole bodies, present ourselves to God in accordance with that teaching as risen from the dead, as servants of righteousness, as servants of holiness. This is the Christian life. We are slaves of God. Not slaves in the sense that he's a master and we're no better than the blacks in the worst of southern plantations. But as slaves to God who willingly say, "You have saved my life. I will freely obey you all my days out of love." That's the Christian life. Today we celebrate the feast of a man who followed this path, who was the Lord's faithful and prudent steward, who presented himself to God as raised from the dead to life and used the gift of life God had given him as a weapon for good, as a real arm for the apostolate. Saint Juan de Capistrano, he was born in Italy in the late 1300s. He'd actually married, but never consummated his marriage for reasons I won't get into here. But eventually he was imprisoned, and he had a total conversion in prison. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to spend his entire life totally dedicated to the Lord's service. He had met the great Franciscan preacher, Saint Bernardine of Siena, and he put himself under Saint Bernardine's tutelage. And then after he was set free, he spent his whole life crisscrossing the known European world in order to defend the faith. At first, he defended it from false teachings, because in the 1400s, there were many false teachings. And he tried to help people to adopt the pattern of teaching that was entrusted to us in the faith. And he brought many converts. Because of his former life as a big-time sinner, he was able to succeed where many of the other preachers failed, because he was able to talk about his own conversion. And that brought people, especially in certain parts of northern Italy and in Germany, to listen to him with new ears. So he touched where others couldn't get. Many of us, if we think we're sinners and unqualified, some of the time it's precisely through the miracle that the Lord has done in our life that other people will listen, whereas they're not going to listen to somebody who entered the convent at 18. But that's what he ended up doing. And eventually, when the Ottomans, the Muslims, started to invade parts of Christian Europe, he was the one who preached courage to Christian soldiers, and in fact inspired them to go into battle to try to stop the onslaught where Islam was being pushed not by argument but by the sword. He saw his entire life as a weapon for the truth, as a weapon for God. And that's why we celebrate his feast day more than 550 years later. Today, as we come forward here, we're called to remember that every Mass, as I say those words, pray, brothers and sisters, that this sacrifice, mine and yours, may be acceptable to the Lord, to the Almighty Father, that you at that moment are to present your entire life as risen from the dead, to put down your weapons on these altars so that the Lord may purify them, and then to use you in his army here on earth, an army with the weapons of prayer, with the weapons of charity, with the weapons of peace, as we go on out into a world that's so very wounded and so much enslaved by the devil, who continues to terrorize them, that they need good shepherds capable of laying down lives in order to free them. Every time we come forward, that's the offering we make to God, and the Lord makes an even greater offering to us. God the Father gives us his own Son, together with the Holy Spirit, to strengthen us for that battle. As Jesus says at the end of the parable today, much will be required of the person entrusted with much, still more demanded of the person entrusted with more. This morning, we are entrusted with the most of all. Lord, is this parable for us or for everyone? St. Peter was asking a question about whether they were exempt from the Lord's words because they didn't need to listen to the message, always to be ready to open the door to Christ when he comes. And that's when Jesus gave the parable about the prudent and wise steward, saying it is meant for all. May we heed that message like St. Peter and the other apostles, St. John of Capistrano, St. Bernadette did, so that we might be able to give God glory like they did in life and come to experience the eternal joy of heaven together with them. Praise be Jesus Christ.